Good day, friends. We greet you with our Bible open once again, this time to the book of Acts, where we've been discussing a number of subjects, and these subjects are all under the general caption of what it means to be born again. I'd like to say before we get into the broadcast today that we're especially and profoundly interested in recognizing the fact that in God's divine truth, we have a system that God has given for preaching the gospel. Your friendly neighbors, the Church of Christ, realize as long as men are in sin, that the gospel must be proclaimed. It's like Jesus said to his apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." You can read that in Mark 16:15-16. Or if you're looking at Matthew's account of the gospel, look at chapter 28. And after Jesus is announced, just before he is ready to go to heaven, this is following his resurrection and before his ascension, that he simply said to his apostles that all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then in the last two verses of Matthew's account of the gospel, 19 and 20, of that same 28th chapter of Matthew, he said, "I want you to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, we believe that men are still in sin today, and there's a responsibility truly upon the shoulders of all Christians to make known the marvelous truth. So the people who bring you this broadcast on this station today are trying to do this. We understand that by means of radio is not the only way that the gospel can be proclaimed. But that is a means of taking the gospel into many homes, and we trust into many hearts, into the sick room, into the shut-ins, into those who are able to be up and about, but may not see the need in their own life to be in the house of the Lord. We always tell you that this broadcast is not a substitute for church attendance, but I like to think upon it as a spiritual service in the sense that we're trying to bring the gospel to you as an assistant to help you and your entire family to come to know more about it. You'll note that on the broadcast, we do not solicit funds, for this broadcast is brought to you by the congregation or congregations in various communities that sponsor the broadcast. A man said one time, "You know, on this broadcast, you're interested in more than dollars and cents." Yes, we're interested in the souls of men. And what we're talking about is worth more than all the physical creation of God. For you recall that Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul?" So I hope you look upon this broadcast as a spiritual service to you. Now again I say, not a substitution for church attendance. So spend the next quarter hour with us now as we have brought this little prelude before your mind to the accounting that is found in the city of Corinth. And if you're following us with your Bible once again today, we have our Bible open to the 18th chapter of Acts. And there's a simple account here in the city of Corinth where the narrative takes us in verse 7 to say that he, referring to Paul, departed thence and entered into a certain man's house. This man's name was Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So I'm led to believe that this man was conscious of that law of Moses. I'm sure this man was conscious of the teaching of Judaism. He was conscious of the teaching that was relative to the Messiah, for the prophets, and in that law, had prophesied his coming. How many times we look at the law of Moses back in the Old Testament, and I'm thinking of a scripture in Deuteronomy 18:15, where Moses simply recorded that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee, like unto me, like unto Moses. It's going to be from your brethren. He's going to be like unto me. This prophet you will hear. And so that very thing came about. And I'm sure that Justus was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Now, he was one who certainly was impressed by the teaching. For it says in verse 8, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." You see, we have an interesting account here because here's Justus, and here's Crispus, and here are many of the Corinthians. What Luke's giving us is just a simple narrative, a historical account of how the gospel here was taken into this great city of Corinth. You know, I'm wondering as you listen to the gospel today on this broadcast, if you realize that that same teaching that we're talking about today, that teaching that is the power of God unto salvation, that teaching which can reveal to you what is right in the sight of God. Paul made that statement in Romans 1, 16 and 17, and we'll be talking at future times, I'm sure, in various series on this station about such passages. But you see, when you hear the gospel, it doesn't make any difference whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't make any difference whether you live in the town, whether you live in a metropolis, whether you live in a rural area. It doesn't make any difference what your standing is in the community where you live. I'm simply telling you that we're talking about a teaching that does not depend upon your ability or talent. Isn't that an interesting thing when you think about with us on the broadcast today? A person must realize that he needs the Savior. He must realize, as Jesus told Nicodemus back in that third chapter of John, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom. And that's why we're spending time on this station and in this current series and talking about that very subject and trying to offer to you in what we hope is a simple, concrete picture of God's divine plan. It is, my friends, a form of doctrine. Romans 6, 17 and 18 makes that as clear as anything could be. When Paul said that even though you were the servants of sin, you've obeyed from your heart. That form of doctrine, that's the gospel which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Now that form of doctrine is mentioned here in verse 8 of the 18th chapter of Acts. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now someone might say, in dealing with this subject, well, why did these people hear the word? Well, the Apostle Paul had an opportunity of proclaiming it. You know, I believe as I go about the country that there are many, many people who are interested in the Bible. Now, I know some people get turned off, so to speak, because of things that have happened in religion. I talked to a man some years ago who just simply seemed to be turned off, as people use the expression, on the religion of Jesus Christ because he knew someone that wasn't the right kind of person that claimed to be a Christian. And he measured everybody by that type of individual. You know, this is about as far-fetched as a story I heard one time about a driver who was traveling across country going through a certain state. And as he traveled on this U.S. highway, he just got outside of a small town, and here's someone coming from a farm pulled out in front of him on the highway, and he did everything he could to keep from hitting that automobile. Well, he went on down the road trying to regain his composure. And as the story goes, he hadn't gone over 2 or 3 miles until the same thing happened again. He then concluded that all the people in the state, that all the people along that highway were that kind of drivers. That would be ridiculous. So there are people who do not set the right example, who are poor examples of what Christianity ought to be. But that doesn't change the Bible. That doesn't change the teaching of God's Word. It simply points out the frailty in the part of man. It points out the failure on the part of man to do what God has in mind. So when we think of the story of the conversion of the Corinthians, and no doubt Crispus, and we would even trust Justus, that it brings to our mind that the simple gospel was heard. It was believed. And there was no hesitation on the part of these people in the light of all the other accounts of conversions to be baptized into Christ. You know, every so often I find someone who says, well, preacher, should I really be baptized into Christ? Is it essential? Well, I might ask you if commandments that God has given are essential. Yes, undoubtedly people will agree that they are essential. If a person doesn't believe in a commandment that the Lord has given, then what will he believe? You know, the people at Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That was for the remission of sins, but it was in his name. And that means by his authority. So when there's a commandment given, and you can point to the Word of God that it is commanded, then there should be no hesitation on your part or my part to simply move by faith and to obey. Now, when we were talking about Cornelius the other week in the 10th chapter of Acts, you remember when that was brought to its conclusion, that Peter simply commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Again, when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned," in Mark 16:16. You see, it's interesting that he does say it that way. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then he says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." You see, the point is that baptism is definitely a part of belief. It must be recognized as a part of belief. And so from that standpoint, we're led to believe that an individual who would not believe in Christ Jesus, it's true to say that he undoubtedly would not repent. I don't believe he'd confess his faith in Christ, and he truly wouldn't be baptized. So you see, this simply emphasizes the point that you take what the Bible has to say. You want to speak and you want to believe what the Word of God has to offer. And when you see these accounts of conversion that we've talked about in this series worked out before you in a wonderful pattern, a wonderful form of doctrine, then if you really believe it, you'll just truly accept it in your life with a full obedience. You see, like in the Christian life, it's true in becoming a Christian that we can believe there's a God. But I want to tell you people, our faith can be dead. We can be like the individual who said, "Be warmed and filled." He talked a good religion. "Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful for the body." This was someone who was suffering. They didn't have clothes. They didn't have food. And he just said, "Be warmed and filled." So you see, it's not far enough to say, "I believe there's a God." It's not far enough when we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, it is true that when a young man tells a woman that he loves her, and the woman says that she loves the young man, these are words. And as someone said not too long ago, the rest of their life, as they are joined in holy matrimony, they prove to one another and to anyone that's interested that they really do love one another. So if you actually have heard the word and you understand what the Bible teaches, then do just what this word teaches. Don't fall short of the mark. Don't go halfway. Go the whole way in obeying from your heart that glorious truth. I want to say in the closing moment of this broadcast, it's been good to be with you today. You know, the short 15-minute period that we spend with you each week is a period of time that is a great refreshment. It is to me, and I trust it is to you. There are people we know across the country that take their Bibles and read those Bibles diligently. A lady told me in Missouri some years ago that she kept a pad of paper right there by her Bible and by her radio, and she jotted the passages down. There's a family we know out in the state of Kansas that actually tapes the broadcast, and then they sit down together at a time when they can meditate upon it, and you know how you can rent a tape machine, and they'll play this, and then they'll replay it, and they'll think about the scriptures that are given. And then when we go to that community, we enjoy talking to them about those lessons. Well, whether you do that or not, we want you to know that what must you do to be saved? What must you do to be born again? Well, here's another example of Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. Have you done that? If you haven't, we trust you'll do it today without hesitation or reservation. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous truth. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next week as we deal once again with what it means to be born again.